From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in the Mistro.
La Playa.
I live in the Transmission.
Haight Ashbury.
I'm in the sunny but filthy Mission.
Coming up, the story of a partnership between a high school and a high-end grocery store in San Francisco's Mission District.
This is like my first real job, being able to have like a... not an internship where people treat me as a minor and like they treat me as like I'm a regular employee.
Then we'll flip through a parody version of the airline catalog SkyMall.
One of the products that we love and think there's a big demand for is the condo pony. It's just a little horse that clumps around your apartment or your condo.
And we'll go digging for ancient fossils in the East Bay Hills.
It's a kind of like a detective work. You can try and figure out what the world looked like way back when and what was going on.
That's what's going on today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. Over the past few years, San Francisco has been getting a lot of press about the tensions in our quickly changing city.
The biggest problem, they say, is that young, well-paid tech workers are taking up a disproportionate share of the housing and driving up already astronomical real estate prices. Rent increases in San Francisco are outpacing the nation more than threefold.
It's very sad to see people being forced out of their homes where they've lived in for decades.
Just a symptom of a larger change. People want to live here.
The average price of an apartment here is more than $3,000 a month.
It all seems to be magnified in the Mission District, a sunny destination with a growing number of expensive restaurants and soaring rents. It's a neighborhood where Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg now owns a home and a place where an affluent, whiter population is displacing lower-income residents, many of them Latino. But there are partnerships that are defying these divides, and one of them is taking place on 18th Street, right by Dolores Park. KALW's Laura Cliven's headed to Mission High School to see where it's all going down.
It's a windy day in San Francisco, and I'm at the back of Mission High School with teacher Rachel V. Hill and her urban agriculture class. We're outside on the edge of their football field. Students are moving between carefully laid dirt beds, each stretching 30 feet long.
Okay, listen up. We have 10 minutes before we have to head to the College Center, so I'd like everyone to just do a sweep of any green material that is on the paths. Please put it in the compost and pick up any gloves that are hanging out.
A little over a year ago, this plot was concrete. Mission High staff, students, and volunteers, they tore it up, brought in dirt, and made it the oasis it is today. Mission High senior Alejandro Ramos points out some healthy-looking strawberries.
It was during the summer, and we were, like, shoving dirt through the lots.
Ramos took part as a volunteer.
And I guess I just wanted to, like, follow up and see what it could actually become. And now seeing what we grow is, like, kind of success to see that happen.
Ramos is now in the two-year urban agriculture course. Students in this class learn to grow food, spiff up their resumes, and get involved in the local food and environmental movements. The resulting Mission Youth Garden, or My Garden, has hundreds of shades of green. It's run by students and supervised by Rachel V. Hill.
We really felt like there was a big need to sort of tap into the work around local food systems and have students really develop out their skills and connect that to sort of what's happening in the industry, particularly in San Francisco, because there's so much that's happening in the local food movement.
There's a lot happening with the local food movement in San Francisco. And there's also a lot happening with San Francisco, especially the Mission. Tech money has brought big changes to the city, and some neighborhoods, like the Mission, are almost unrecognizable from what they were 10 years back. Census data crunched by the news site Mission Local shows that the Latino population fell by 22% from 2000 to 2010. According to Data Service Priceonomics, the median rent for a one-bedroom in the Mission was $3,250 in April, up from $1,900 just 3 years ago. These numbers are frustrating for a lot of people. They're exclusive, disconnecting. But if you look closely at a local shop, you can find connection.
So this is our produce section, and it's an awesome time of the year. There's a lot of color, a lot of variety.
Shakira Simley is ByRight's community outreach and giving manager. We are looking at a refrigerated shelf with purple eggplants, orange and yellow peppers, and red rhubarb stalks.
So this is our cold case, and generally the student's produce would be mixed right in.
Student produce grown just up the street at Mission High School.
And we definitely have had guests ask about it. They're like, Mission High? And we really enjoy that because it gives us an opportunity, if the students are not here, their produce is.
Now, even though Mission High and Byright are close physically, there is a mismatch. Many students can't afford Byright.
I think the only reason that students don't shop there as much is because of the pricing.
That's urban agriculture student Tanusree Chakraborty.
They prefer going to the corner store instead, which is like they could get a bag of chips for like $1.50, but you can basically get nothing at Byright for $1.50.
And there are some other issues playing out at Byright, which mirror the ones in the community. The majority of Mission High students are youth of color, and 74% qualified for free and reduced lunch last year. Byright, with specialty foods at high prices, tends to have customers who are affluent. But Shakira Simley explains Byright's prices are fair.
We understand that good food costs more, and for us it's hard to make that sacrifice. You know, do we pay our staff less and provide less benefits? Do we not pay our farmers a competitive price for their amazing products, or our artisans for their amazing products?
This isn't just lip service. Byright not only buys My Farm produce, but Simley partners with VHL and Mission High to teach students how to make resumes, how to talk and act in an office, and for some, how to get a job at Byright. Students like Tanusree Chakraborty.
We're going to Byright, the place I work. That's the creamery. That's 18 Reasons right there. And on top is our marketing department. And there's a kitchen back in there because we have a lot of cooking classes.
Chakraborty applied to and was hired by Byright after her first year of urban agriculture. She spent the summer working at Byright full-time, and now that school has picked up, she continues working there part-time. She likes it.
This is like my first real job, and being able to have like a, not an internship where people treat me as a minor, and like they treat me as like I'm a regular employee, and it's good to be able to have such an experience before going off to college.
The connection between Byright and Mission High has been around a long time because they have been neighbors for a long time. Mission High was founded in 1897. Byright opened in 1940. Rachel VHL and Shakira Simley use the Mission, a neighborhood with people on both ends of the income spectrum, to show that all people are welcome in the food and environmental movements. VHL says some people think the city is an affluent place where there aren't many young people or people of color. But she says,
for me, being from San Francisco and working in a school like Mission, I'm like, we're here. Like, our students are, like, you know, Mission High is 90% students of color, you know? Like, we are still here, and we cannot be forgotten, and we shouldn't be forgotten.
They're not being forgotten at one local business. Like the rich soil in the My Garden, this high school and Byright partnership is creating fertile ground for growth and development. In San Francisco, I'm Laura Clivens for Cross Currents.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. It's easier to shop around for fresh local produce or anything else when you're on the ground. But when you're, say, up in an airplane, shopping is a little more difficult. Unless, of course, you reach into the pocket of the seat in front of you and find a SkyMall catalog. That's the airline magazine that offers products like a special vacuum for your dog's droppings or a human slingshot right at the moment when you might be bored enough to buy them. San Francisco comedy troupe Casper Hauser couldn't help but notice the absurdity of SkyMall's offerings. So in 2006, they made their own parody version of the catalog called SkyMall. Not M-A-L-L, but M-A-U-L. And they've just recently released a second edition, SkyMall 2. Casper Hauser's Rob Bedeker joined KALW's Audrey Dilling in our studio to talk about it.
Was there a particular product in the real Sky Mall that inspired the parody?
There were a couple. I remember the remote-controlled shark for your swimming pool. That just seemed so wonderfully over the top, and at the same time, it seemed like a self-parody. And there were a few. There was a chimpanzee torso, I think, that you somehow put on your upper body, and it was robotic. But there was a whole group of those kind of remote control animal products that really got our attention.
What are some of the new products in the latest Sky Mall that you are most excited about?
One of the products that we love and think there's a big demand for is the condo pony. It's just a little horse that clumps around your apartment or your condo. It's hypoallergenic. It's doesn't chew up your shoes. The tagline is condo doesn't have to mean no pony, no more. We have a hot dog clock, which combines two of America's greatest inventions. We also like the ship in the bottle remover. Hard to get them in, and just as hard to get them out if you don't have a strategy. So this is a tool that will break and smash the bottle.
That's really an under-addressed issue, I think. Nobody
That's what
ever
we're
really
after.
Thinks about how you're going to get it back out.
Yeah, people don't think about the things that they need. Uh-huh. They don't realize what they need until they see our catalog.
So the holidays are coming up, and for a lot of people, they're going to have to start thinking about Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
Is there anything that maybe you would recommend somebody would get for if they had some new parents in the family?
Yeah, we have a forever diaper, and it uses special space-age technology to allow the diaper to fill up indefinitely, and it saves you all the headache of changing, and it just billows up, kind of like those Jiffy Pop things that you do on the stove. We also have a product we call the Santa Guard, which is really a metal grate that you put in front of your fireplace for those parents who are worried about, you know, exposing their children to Santa too early or at all. This is it simply says that parents should have a choice.
So I thought we could play a little game, uh-huh. Sky Mall or not.
Okay.
So we picked a few things from Real Sky Mall, M-A-L-L. And not. So I just had a couple people make some things up.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just see if you can guess. First one is Brobdignagian sports chair.
Mm.
That's a very big chair.
That's a Jonathan Swift reference. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that's a little highbrow. Not that Sky Mall can't be highbrow, but I'm going to say not.
It's Sky Mall.
You're kidding me.
It is real. That's the title.
So it's a chair that makes you look and feel small.
Yes. While watching sports. Baby boomerang.
Baby boomerang. Yes, that's a perfect skill. No.
No. No.
I am 0-2. It's horrible.
Hicurol hiccup stick. It cures hiccups.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, good.
It's just a stick that you just bite on.
Uh-huh. And that's it? Does it have any medicine on it?
I don't think so. Portable sink.
Portable sink, which would be a sink with some kind of tank attached to it.
Yeah, maybe a strap.
Uh-huh. I'm going to say yeah.
No, we made that one up.
This is incredible. You guys are good, and Sky Mall is amazing.
Next time, when it comes time for Sky Mall 3, maybe you can come here and get some ideas. Can we maybe just talk a little bit about Kaspar Hauser for a moment, too?
Sure.
Have you always focused on parody?
Well, in a sense, parody and satire are what we do, but never really topical parody or topical satire in terms of politics or current events.
What do you think parody is for?
I think it's a way of sort of distilling, boiling down something about the zeitgeist, about the culture that is extreme or off kilter, that can be sort of extracted and exaggerated in a meaningful way.
What do you have to consider when you're choosing something to parody?
A couple things. With Sky Mall, it's a great container for comedy. So it's got a visual element. You can write visual jokes in terms of the photos and Photoshop work you do. You have a really succinct form in terms of a headline and a description. So they're all pretty short and punchy. So the actual form of the original allows for good comedy. In other words, the form is conducive to short, visual, funny writing. The other things we consider are if it's a cultural touchstone. Everybody pretty much knows Sky Mall and has looked at it and has a reference point. So with our other books, we did a parody of the New York Times weddings announcements. Something a lot of people know, and it has a really distinct voice. Sky Mall, the weddings of the Times, both have that flavor that it's easy to distill and write as if it were your own.
Is there anything you've always wanted to parody that you haven't yet?
That's a great question. I think I would love to parody. I would love to create a parody of a whole store, like a grocery store, actually in 3D, and have the entire store be fake. So it would be bringing this book like Sky Mall to life, and everything, the product descriptions, the packaging, even the cashier would be fake.
What appeals to you about that? What do you think that would bring?
I think that it's really the future. You know, books are, you know, hopefully not soon, but going the way of the dinosaur. Everything is moving into virtual reality. So I could see this parody being in cyberspace, but it would give another dimension to parody. It would let people move around in a parody world. I've also, and this is a real idea, thought of creating a whole parody university online. And the appeal is that it's a complete universe that you could populate with fiction. I mean, with parody, it would be recognizable and strange at the same time. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm curious. What do you think people would get out of that?
Well, I think with that, or even with Sky Mall, one of the functions of parody is a heightened sense of reality. So when you sense the absurdity in a work of parody, you look at the real world in a different way, and you see things that are off or true or wrong about the real world. And it's that gap, it's that disconnect that I think is really exciting and productive and useful. I mean, you know, The Onion, for example, helps us look at the news, or The Daily Show helps us look at the news with fresh eyes and see things that we might not have seen if we hadn't gone through the parody experience. So I think having a cyber parody world would allow people to immerse themselves in an alternate reality and come out the other end with a smarter vision, a smarter way of looking at the world.
That was Rob Bedeker, member of the San Francisco comedy troupe Casper Hauser. He spoke with KALW's Audrey Dilling. Find out how you can get your hands on the latest Sky Mall parody catalog at KALW.org and click on Crosscurrents. And now we'll go from being up in the air to deep underground. Construction crews sometimes do more than just build new roads or buildings. From time to time, they unearth ancient worlds. Last year, crews in San Francisco discovered the remains of three mammoths and one giant bison. And once, while working at the Caldecott Tunnel, fossil hunters discovered the remains of camels that once roamed the East Bay. California environmental law actually requires that anyone doing major digging projects has to call fossil experts just in case. So when work began near Fremont to retrofit the Calaveras Dam, paleontologist Jim Walker was called to the scene to hunt for fossils. He expected to find a few, but the count has passed 600. KALW's Holly J. McDeed met up with Walker to hear more about what the Bay Area may have looked like when these prehistoric animals were alive.
Thank you.
The other day, Jim Walker traveled back in time. No big deal. It's his job.
I get paid to go for hikes and look for fossils. It's kind of like a detective work. You can try and figure out what the world looked like way back when and what was going on.
Right now, he's trying to figure out what was going on way back when in a remote canyon in the Southeast Bay.
It's up in the hills behind Milpitas in Fremont. It's actually a very pretty spot. We have a view of Calaveras Reservoir, and then down below we have the dam and all the active construction.
The area where Walker does his digging is pastoral and dry. Today, it's inhabited mostly by construction workers operating dump trucks and playing with bulldozers. They're working on making the Calaveras Dam more safe in case of a future earthquake. But Walker says he can't help thinking about the distant past. Imagine it. The likes of Google and Apple wouldn't rule Silicon Valley. There'd be no Silicon Valley. Peace out, mankind. There'd just be a treacherous, unending jungle inhabited by the entire cast of Jurassic Park. You know, the whole dino gang. The loving and motherly duck-billed Mayasaura. Stegosaurus. And of course, the legendary Tyrannosaurus Rex. Wait a second. Walker says the fossils he's finding are about 20 million years old. Dinosaurs were long gone by then. My bad. In reality, the world Walker is digging up was from the Miocene epoch, and it probably sounded like any old day at the beach. Walker says that's because most of the cities around the bay were underwater back then.
And the coast would have been near Mount Diablo.
If you were standing on that coast,
you might have seen whales off in the distance, or maybe dolphins swimming close to shore. We've also found the tooth of a seal, so you might have, if you were looking at the surf, you might have seen a seal head pop up in the breakers.
Dolphins, whales, and seals? How 2014?
About 20 million years ago, we had these whales, Desmostylids.
Who? I don't think I know the guy.
Desmostylus is an extinct order of marine mammals. They looked kind of like a hippo, and they lived along the California coast.
And he's found fossils of other crazy big water animals.
We found at least one that would have belonged to a megalodon.
That's a big shark that scientists think was almost 600 feet long and that could crush the skull of a whale as easily as a grape. Yikes.
Looked a lot like a great white, but was quite a bit larger. Its space in the environment is now taken up by things like killer whales and stuff like that.
Sea beasts lived and sea beasts died. They sank to the bottom of the ocean. And over time, the landscape changed and the water went away too.
Probably the big event that would have changed the way the area looked is about 15 million years ago, the San Andreas Fault system would have started to propagate up this way.
The San Andreas Fault formed just about 20 million years ago. The central coast, scientists think, moved north thanks to the rumbling and shaking caused by earthquakes along the fault. Now, humble geologist, imagine the 1906 earthquake happening several times over, sometimes on smaller scales, for millions of years, giving California's landscape periodic makeovers over and over again.
So from that point on, we see things starting to, at least geologically, look a lot like they are today.
And the world keeps moving. And someday, someone might spend their day job looking for fossils of us. But for now, we're still here, trying to get our dams, our buildings, and our worlds retrofitted in an attempt to keep it that way. But just as a warning, if the Calaveras Dam failed during the time of an earthquake, experts say a 30-foot-high wall of water would rush towards Fremont and Interstate 880. But it wouldn't be the end of the world. The world would just look slightly different. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDeed.
You've heard
heard from us, now we'd love to hear from you. Email us at news@kalw.org, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at KALW, or call us at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Because of you, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. The Cross Currents team includes Jeremy Dalmas, Leela Day, Jack Detch, Sandhya Dirks, Rachel Dornhelm, Marcy Fraser, Nina Gensler-Debs, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Alexis Luna Torres, Ted Muldoon, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. The line producer was Audrey Dilling. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And this music is by San Francisco's BCom Honcho. They're one of three bands playing at Doc's Lab in North Beach tomorrow night. Doors open at 10:30. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.
Just step back.